Well, good morning again. Come on in. It's nice to be in where it's warm. I've got a little bit of a cold, so that's why I sound like this. We're tough, though, around here. I know it's been cold, but I walked outside yesterday morning early and thought, you know, it's not so bad out here. It was 14 below, but it didn't feel so bad. We kind of get used to it. Well, we are going to do what we call our State of the Church address today, and we do this every year, and it's similar. You know, there's going to be the State of the Union coming up where the president will talk about what's going on in the country. I think this week is the State of the Church where Governor Walker is going to talk about what's going on in Wisconsin.
That'd be the State of the State.
State of the State. Yeah, that's right. He's not going to come here. We invited him, but he was busy. This is the State of the Church, and we couldn't get Scott Walker, so all we got was Mark. That's and we're going to talk about what's going on here at Cedar Creek, and we've done this every year, and we've done it differently in different years. Some years we'll just have a lot of different testimonies, things that God is doing in people's lives. This year what we're going to do, because there's an awful lot of stuff happening just in the church family, in the church kind of as an organization, I guess, we're going to talk about some things that are coming up, some things that are going on here with the church body. So that's what we're going to do today. And so we're going to get some different people up here to talk about these different things. There's going to be a chance for you guys to ask questions. So as you listen to these folks, if you have questions after each one of these folks talks, there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions. Okay. Are we ready?
Yes. Our first contestant
on the State of the Church is Jim Myers. Hey, come on up, Jim. We're going to talk about money, talk about finances, just kind of let people know where we're at. Jim is the treasurer here of Cedar Creek. He's the kind of the chairman, I guess, of our board of trustees. Jim has all the money in the church, so if you want some, call Jim. So, how are we doing as a church financially? What's going on?
You know, as a church, we're doing very well. 2016 was a trying year. It wasn't a banner year by any means, but yet we ended up in the black, which is always good. We always have enough money to pay the bills, and thanks to the saints. We don't sell anything here. We rely on contributions, and that's your folks. And so that's how we survive.
So what do we spend our money on here at the church? What are the big expenses?
The first thing we do is we tithe to the Great Commission, which is our parent church. 10% of everything that comes in goes directly to them to further the gospel. And then from there, probably the two biggest things is obviously payroll. Is number one. Second thing is the church, the building, the grounds, everything, utilities, everything to keep the church going. So,
do we have any debt?
No, we don't. there may be a bill that needs to be paid, but just because we haven't received the bill yet. So, No, everything we have is paid for, and we pride ourselves in that.
Yeah.
So, Jim, who decides where our money goes? I mean,
pretty much the Board of Trustees. I think we have 7 members of the trustees that decide where and how we spend our money. We met last month and approved the budget for 2017. Really not a lot of major changes in the budget from year to year. But, again, we don't have any loan payments, so that makes things easy.
Yeah.
So you don't carry a checkbook and write checks?
No, and I don't write checks. We have Allie Manti is our bookkeeper. She does payroll and pays the bills and coordinates all the payables, things like that.
Okay.
So,
Do we have cash reserves?
We do. Substantially, again, because we do not have a building payment or loans out there, we try to put away a little bit of money every month for a building expansion or whatever we might need to do. We do keep putting money into that, and it's grown over the years.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We have, if going into the building, we have about close to $200,000 in reserve.
Okay. And don't we have some just set aside even for just like a
we do
expense reserves?
Several years ago, we decided to put some money in case whatever happened, we'd be able to pay our bills for a few months. Yeah. And so we have some money there as well. Yeah. So over and above what we've saved for a building.
Yeah, so all in all, we're in a pretty
all
good financial...
Yes. A lot of churches can't say that. We can.
Yeah.
Have we always been able to say that?
No.
No. Rob was pretty good at saving his, or not cashing his checks for weeks at a time.
Yeah.
We no longer have
to do that for a long time. No, that's right.
So you mentioned the building expansion. I'm going to ask about that. So as far as just how the process works, the trustees decide on all purchases or all expenditures?
Most everything. There's some small, the pastors have little, if there's benevolence issues or something like that, they can decide that on their own. But pretty much any major expenditure is brought to the trustees, and we decide at that time.
So if somebody had an idea for something and they thought, hey, I'd love to do this thing at the church, whatever it is, but it took some money, how would they go about trying to get that approved?
Get a hold of a trustee, get a hold of the pastor is probably the easiest to start with. And I don't think there's really anything we've denied.
Anything you want to just...
if it's a good cause, again, we want to... further the ministry here.
Yeah, the blank checks will be at the door.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're all signed. Just take one as you go.
Not quite. Yeah. But.
Who are the trustees?
Oh, okay. Bob Parsons, Joel Roswell, Tom Geary, myself, both Pastor Rob and Pastor Mark.
Yeah.
Ellie is not a trustee, but she sits in on the meetings.
And Justin sits in the operations.
And Justin as well. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, questions? About church finances, you had anything at all you have questions about regarding the finances here at the church, how they operate, where we're at financially? Questions? Yeah.
Have we decided if we're going to need a counselor for Fridays?
Well, that's a good question that we will get to in a minute. Maybe.
We need a counter for the Friday night service?
Yeah. We're going to talk about our Friday night service coming up, and to be honest, we haven't thought about that. So, yes, we will. Someone to count the money. Other questions? Anyone? Questions for Jim about our finances?
All right.
Well, thanks,
great.
Jim.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
Appreciate
All
it.
Right. All right. Now we're going to, Jim had mentioned about saving money for a building expansion, and so we're going to talk about that. So Don Breedle is going to come on up, and we are going to talk about kind of where we're at with this building expansion. It's something that we've talked about here for a couple of years now, and so... And Don keeps coming up to talk about it. So, hi, Don.
Hey, boys. What Jim said first service that he didn't say just now was that his committee never makes a rash decision. So I'm here as the chair of the committee that never, ever, ever will ever make a rash decision.
That's right. Yeah.
You may remember me getting up here last year or 2 years ago. But this committee on building expansion has been around for a long time. Dave Lenander started it many years ago. Tarby was involved heavily, a year ago or so. We need more room. It's just a question of, when are you rash and when are you wise in God's eyes and in man's eyes.
Right. So where are we at? I mean, what's the...
The past year, talked to two different architects. If I get that first slide, please. The first guy came up with this, and we said... we can't afford that, and it probably isn't the right religion anyway. So he retired. We picked up the guy from Chippewa Falls who came up with this next picture. At least it's the right religion, but again, we said it's already been done. We don't want to copy that. So a much more modest proposal. You may have seen last summer we put this rendering up on the easel out in the foyer. This would give us to the south here a new foyer meeting area, a nice driveway to come under the roof to protect from the elements, office space, bathrooms, and storage in a new plot about 40 by 90, and then keep this as the sanctuary, expand the wall back there, the back wall about 10 or 12 feet for a few more seats, and then give a lot more Sunday school room in what's now the office and the library. And this, we think, for $700,000, give or take, would fill our current needs and at least our immediate future needs with a lot of children coming up through the Sunday school ranks.
Yeah. So right now, what where are we kind of sitting? I mean, are we going to build this tomorrow, or what? Where are we at? I stumped him.
Yes. From the rash decision department, we have been kicking around when to start a capital campaign. You know, for a year or two, and we I guess are looking for God's guidance and for the congregation's input and vision. On the thing. So we could skip to the next. Oh, here's the floor plan thing. Again, we can put this back up on an easel out in the foyer, but skip to the next slide. This was my Bible reading Thursday morning. I thought it fit perfectly. This is Paul talking to the church in Corinth about what to do with all their money. We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift. And of course, you haven't given it yet, but when you do, I'm sure it'll be liberal. And we're taking pains to do what's right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but in the eyes of man. So again, we're looking for God's guidance, but also the collective wisdom of the church. Yeah. If we're going to build this summer, you know, we should start a capital campaign by spring.
Yeah, I think in first service, a question was asked, is there a drop-dead date? Because, like Don mentioned, expanding for children's ministries, because that's quite a full area on the other side of that wall. And asked, because there's lots of babies. If you haven't noticed, there's lots of babies and little people here. And so it is something that we need to get pretty serious about in the next 1 to 2 years.
We meet quarterly with the folks who are in charge of the kids ministries. That's Heather Cans and Mindy Peterson and Lisa Paulin, and they always come. They keep track of not only the kids that are in Sunday school and nursery now, but the ones that are going to be coming up. And I think, are one of you ladies in here? I think there's 40 kids that are going to hit the Sunday school nursery thing in the next year. Is that true? Is that right? And there's a whole bunch more that are still not born yet that will be here soon. So, yeah, in the next short order, we're going to be really, really, really packed in the kids' side. So.
And people thinking about having babies.
And people thinking about having babies and getting married, yeah. That doesn't seem to stop. So, yeah.
Well, one thing on the timing leads to the next issue is this idea of a new Friday night service will alleviate some of the space demands.
Sure.
And
yeah.
I think there's an interest to see how well does that fill our needs.
Yeah. Yeah.
For a lot less money.
Yeah. Yeah. Questions about the building expansion? Questions for Don? Questions about what's going on? Yeah.
Is there thought of taking on debt or just the capital campaign?
Is there thought of taking on debt or just the capital campaign?
My vision would be, you know, if we've got $200,000, can we raise $500,000 and have no debt?
And we do have about $200,000 saved for the building expansion. I don't know if Jim said that or not.
So I think others have said a small amount of mortgage, or similar to what we're apparently saving now monthly, something like that might be reasonable to do.
Yeah.
But I think the hope is to have very little or no debt.
Yeah, that'd be great if we could do it that way. Yeah. For the what? For the
capital
Well, what we did in the past, when we planted the church in La Crosse, we got a couple of guys to kind of spearhead it, and there was a committee apart from the trustees that did that, and I suspect we would do it that way as well. So it wouldn't be the trustees, it would be a separate group of folks kind of spearheading the capital campaign. Anything else? Other questions? Yeah.
Yeah, the question is, could we do some of it ourselves? That's been the hope all along. It gets complicated with general contractors and you know, who's going to do what when. And one issue we have had is that we've had one general contractor show a lot of interest in working with us, and that's Royal Construction, and several other businesses we've approached have not been nearly as interested in working on the project. That's what slowed us down over this last year quite a bit. So, yeah, we want to try to do all that we can, not only to save money, but also to get people to feel like this is their home, yeah. Their church home.
Yeah. There was a question over here. I saw someone raise. Okay. Anything else quickly? Any other questions for Don or about the building? All right, if you guys want, we have copies of that blueprint and that rendering and stuff, so if you have questions about that, feel free to call Don at home anytime, day or night. Thanks, Don.
Thanks, Don.
Okay. All right, well, Don mentioned the third service, the Friday night service, so we're going to get Matt and Luke up here to talk about that.
Howdy.
Hello.
So, Matt and Luke.
Mark and Rob.
Yes. Talking about a Friday night service. Oftentimes when I talk to folks about this, they think that, well, why would we start a Friday night service? There's still empty seats in here. We're not busting at the seams in this room on a Sunday morning or in first service as well. So why a Friday night service?
Why a Friday night service?
Yeah.
Some people... don't like to get up on Sunday mornings. I'm one of them. Friday night, having another service on a different night of the week, I don't know if you guys know this, but it creates an entire empty sanctuary without building anything. It's an opportunity for people who can't make it on Sundays, who don't want to, different people to get in these doors, you know, be with believers, be ministered to, and grow. So... excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, we'd be more than willing to go to people's homes and drag them out of bed at 10:30 in the morning, but that's not very loving, so we thought this might be a better approach. And yeah, like Luke was saying, was like it creates a whole new empty sanctuary, which is a whole new door for the gospel to enter into people's lives. And I don't know, the way illustration I like to think, I don't know if you've seen, but we knocked a hole in the wall over here in the kids side. You can't see it, but there's a whole new door there so kids can spill over into another room. And that's kind of what I think about with this third service, is that we're opening up, we're opening up a hole, we're making a door for more people to walk in who can't wake up Sunday morning or who have to work, or maybe they're free Friday night and that's the only time they're free to go to church and stuff. So, yeah.
So what's this Friday service going to look like? Is it going to be just like a Sunday morning, or what's it going to look like?
Strobe lights, fog machine.
No. Yeah, Jim, I do have a request. Yeah, we don't have a fog machine yet, so Jim, if you could.
We're not going to get a fog machine. It's not. We're going to get a fog.
We're going to have a capital campaign for a fog machine.
No, we're not going to get a fog machine.
It's going to look very different. I mean, it's going to look different. For one thing, we're going to take out a bunch of the seats in the back, and that's going to actually allow for some kids to sit back there who are a little older and just kind of make things a little different. There's going to be more video involved in the service. You're going to hear some louder music, some dimmer lights, some much more colorful and flashing lights. Within, you know, we don't want anyone to have a seizure or anything. We've actually got some people working on some really cool backgrounds that are going to go back on the side panels here that are going to interact with lights, a lot of talk of lights. But we're shooting for, everyone's welcome, but we're shooting for a slightly younger demographic. So it's going to affect, you know, the worship music, the music you'll hear before and after the service, and just the flow. It's going to be different. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you noticed, we already took our first steps. We got rid of the drapes that were hanging up here on the wall, which I'm very excited about to not see anymore, but that's just me. Yeah, it'll be a little different. We're going to have the structure will be a little different too. Every now and then we'll have an interactive part of the service where maybe we'll take the people who are here and we'll break into small groups and we'll pray. Maybe we'll have a Q&A when we talk about hard things like theology issues, atheism, homosexuality. We'll have maybe a Q&A session. Communion will be part of service every now and then. And yeah, so we'll mix it up a little bit too. So
is the... Are the messages going to be the same, different?
Yes. Yeah, we're going to have the same messages as far as Sunday morning. It's going to be the same teaching, same schedule. So when you look and you'll see the teaching schedule, as they come up, it's going to be the same on Friday nights. So. Yeah.
Different food, though, right?
Yeah, we're going to have pizza, hot dogs, meatballs. Jim, can we get a popcorn machine? Do that.
You see, this part is true. The fog machine, not, but the pizza and the meatballs is really true.
Believe it or not. We have a pizza oven or something? Jim, can we get some money for pizza ovens? this is just the time to ask, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. No request is denied. That's what I've heard. So.
Can we have our blank checks?
You will not be turned down.
So why are you guys excited about it? I mean, you're obviously excited about this opportunity, this thing happening. Why are you involved and why are you excited about this?
Yeah. Me first? Yeah. You know, it's a couple reasons. I think what really hit me first was this is an opportunity for me to use some gifts I think God has given me. Just I serve a lot in the back on the computer, putting things on the screen and audio stuff. And I feel like it's really an opportunity for God to use those gifts in a way that I'm really excited about, making it more, skewing a little more youthy and more crazy things that, maybe some people were like, I'm really excited about that aspect. I feel like God could really use me there. But I'm also just really excited just for that chance for someone, you know, for whatever we're doing to get people in here, for them to be around Christians and God to change them and them to get on the right path, come back to it. It's about that. Like, it's about the lives that can be changed. So.
Yeah. No, yeah, I agree. I think the reason why I get excited about third service and all that is because I look around Cedar Creek and we've talked with Rob and Mark and we're doing well. We're really doing well. We're in the black financially. We're playing a building expansion. The small groups are alive. I mean, we're doing really well as a congregation. We really are. And so what we need to do now, what we've found out is that the Holy Spirit is leading us in a new direction, taking a step of faith, taking a challenge, taking something that we really want to trust the Spirit in, really want to trust God to work in. And it's just so exciting because there's 65,000 people in Eau Claire. There's another 8,000 in Altoona, another 14,000 in Chippewa. I mean, that's a lot of people. And what's so cool about it is that if we start this Friday night service and we just run with it, and we just run wholeheartedly for the Lord, and we just pour into it, we make it happen. And if one person in the Chippewa Valley, just one person gets saved out of this, amen, that's what we're doing, and that's what we're living for, and that's what we want. If just one person can get saved by what we're doing, it's all worth it. And I think that's what we're excited about. All the men who are planning this, that's our passion. That's what we want. We want the Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to tell us who to interact, who to get involved in, who to bring into this, and we want to just win souls. That's our mission. That's our goal. That's what we want. That's what we feel like the Spirit's telling us.
Cool. Right. Questions about the third service? Yeah.
Are there plans for nursery service and Sunday school Friday school
classes? What a school. Great question, and a great question. It's deserves Friday a great school. Answer.
The question was, what are we going to do with kids on Friday nights?
Right. There will be, I'm told there will be no Sunday school, but there will be nursery every Friday.
Yeah, so people will be in the back in the nursery to watch your kids, but also if you wanted to bring your kids in, you know, there'll be open spaces in the back, and kids are certainly welcome.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great question.
That's a great question. We are going to take the edgers and we're going to tell them that Friday night service is their service, that they were going to, we're going to bring them to Friday night. Yeah, we're going to bring them in. The college service will still be happening, but we're going to restructure it. So we'll be having small groups throughout, a small group on one night of the week, but they will be coming to Friday night service.
And the other thing is, if you do not get a smoke machine,
yes.
I will sign up for 3 out of the 5 for counting.
What if we do get a fog machine? Did you just get 1 of the 5? Or
no. That sounds good.
Other questions? Yeah.
Not a question. I just want to say thank you, young man. I think this is what we need.
Yeah, it's exciting that these young guys are taking this in. And really, we, you know, about a year and a half ago, we just, Mark and I just kind of gathered a group of young men who have been pouring themselves into Cedar Creek, and we said to them, what do you guys want to do? What stirs your heart? What do you guys want to make happen? And they said, we want to do a third service. So we said, okay, go ahead. And they're doing it. Anything else? Yeah. You know, I don't know. I know that Bethesda did. I don't think they do anymore. Peace Lutheran might be. I don't know that, Don. Yeah, I think there's a couple Saturday night services in town. I don't know if there's a Friday night service. I don't know. Yeah.
What time at night would it be?
What time?
Midnight.
It's not at midnight.
It's not at midnight. No.
That would be a Sunday or a Saturday morning.
I ain't coming at midnight.
No, it's we plan on opening up the doors and having a half hour mingle at 6:30 with service starting at 7.
Yeah.
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 7:09.
Not 7:09.
Not 7:09. No. We pushed for it, but shot down. So.
All right. Yeah. All right.
Well, real quick, I'm going to run through this. I got two questions they were asked in first service. I know we're running a little long, so I'll fly through them. But one question was asked was, I already forgot it. One question that was asked was, how are we getting the word out? How are we letting the Chippewa Valley know that we're doing this? Well, we're planning on marketing. We're planning advertisements through newspaper, Leader Telegram, Volume 1. Maybe we'll look into radio, depending on how much money Jim decides to give us, we might expand that a little further. So we are getting the word out. Feel free to invite coworkers that you know or friends that you know who are like, oh, I don't want to do Sunday morning. Well, Friday night's an option now. The other question was asked in first service was, how are we going to maintain relationships between services? Because it seems like we already kind of are noticing that between a 9 a.m. and a 10:45. And what I want to say to that is relationships are kind of a two-way street. There's one way and the other way. One way is the church, Cedar Creek, people organizing and providing opportunities for all of us to be together as a congregation. So like church picnics, game nights, family nights, worship nights, where we can all come together. And the other side of that street is individual effort to reach out to people and to say, you know, I noticed you're in first service. Would you want to go get a cup of coffee? Because I don't know if you've noticed, but it seems like there's two services throughout the year. And then when summer rolls around, it's like, oh, hi, my name's Matt. How long have you been coming to Cedar Creek? About 25 years. So that's happened a couple of times. So, yeah, it's a two-way street to keep the relationships growing. It's the church's responsibility to organize events, to create it, but it's also individual effort to reach out and invite people from other services to hang out together. So,
all right.
Yeah, thanks, we're jacked
guys.
Up.
All right. Very great.
Good.
Thanks, fellas.
Great, guys.
All right. All right, now we're going to talk about some things that are going on here at church that have been going on for a while that are really exciting. So is Daniel here? Come on up, Daniel. Yeah. Oh, Ella.
I'm on the wrong time. But will Sunday still go to one service for the summer? And then we'll continue Fridays?
What, Sunday service? You mean in the summer we'll go to one Sunday morning service? That's the plan. I don't think we've really thought that through completely, but that's the plan at this point. So. All right, Daniel is here to talk about Awana. Now, I just have to say something quick. Daniel is not comfortable around me unless I'm throwing acorns at him. That's just the way we do this.
Hey, you said you were going to bring those up, and you did. Okay,
So if you see acorns being thrown at Dan, I'm just trying to make him comfortable. That's all it is. So Daniel is here to talk about Awana. So tell us what's going on with Awana. What is it? What happens here on Wednesday nights?
Well, what Awana is a program where basically everyone from ages 4 all the way up through high school comes here on Wednesday nights. We memorize verses, we learn lessons that are based upon those verses, and then we also play some games and have a lot of fun, expelling energy, and no caffeine is involved, and still it's really exciting.
So tell me kind of what happens when, well, I mean, is it just kids from
little to big? Or, I mean, what happens on a regular Wednesday night? When?
So what happens is everybody's broken up into a few different age groups depending on their age. So we have the little kids, some kids around K through second grade, and then I think it's third through fifth grade, and then the rest are all out in their other open classes. But the way it works is we bring them all in kind of rotations. We'll have people playing games in here while some people are learning a lesson. Others are working on their handbooks and memorizing verses and saying the verses that they've already memorized. And then we'll switch them around three times during the night, bring it back in here at the very end. Get to see everybody who got awards, which is really exciting because kids get really pumped when they get recognized for sharing verses and everything. And we just close it out with a prayer, and it's pretty awesome.
So a lot of kids involved. How many kids are here?
We have about 50 on a regular basis, but there's new kids coming every week because kids will bring their friends, and that's really exciting too.
Is it just Cedar Creek families and kids or people from the community?
There are a few people from the community, so no, it's not just Cedar Creekers.
Cool.
So you have a few people that you don't do this single-handedly, right?
Well, yeah, duh. I mean, if you know me, you know I couldn't do this by myself. Definitely. There are 20 of us who are doing jobs from leading classes to checking people in to remembering to get awards for people, which is something I would not do very well. And they're just a great group of people. We meet together every Wednesday. All these people have been committed for the whole entire year, and they show up every Wednesday. And then even last Wednesday, we met together with you and the whole group, too, to talk about what direction we were taking it this year, and we're all excited for next week when it starts up again.
Yeah, it was amazing. Wednesday night, met with that group, and it's just so exciting to see this, the enthusiasm of these folks that are leading Awana. It's just great. And then to hear, many of them are parents of Awana kids, and to hear how excited their kids are to come. They don't have to drag their kids to this. They want to come. Yeah. So it's really great. What do you enjoy most about serving in Awana?
Oh, just that we're working with kids, and I'm sure that's what everyone else likes the most, too, is because we're working with the younger people on the other side of the wall that we don't normally see here on Sundays, but they're all able to take charge of the whole entire church and get to be all over the place, and that's just great to see the energy that comes out from kids learning verses and committing the Bible to heart, and just training up those new leaders who are going to be showing up here on this side of the wall pretty soon.
So if somebody wanted to come on a Wednesday night, they're welcome to come and see what's going on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And we definitely encourage it so you can know what's going on here every night of the week and not just Sunday mornings.
Right, yeah. A lot of stuff happens here throughout the week. And I should just say that Daniel stepped in and took over leadership of this year, and it's been fantastic. You've done a really, really good job. And I know you've got a whole team of folks, but it's been really good. So questions about Awana. Questions for Dan. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You must have been here first service and heard what...
The question was, how are the kids being impacted? Has anyone...
There we go. So it's really great to see these kids learning about the Bible, but this year, actual things that have happened are two kids have accepted Christ, which is super exciting.
That is exciting, yeah.
Yeah, cheer. Yeah, that's exciting. And then we've also had one that's been baptized, so it's been a really exciting year for us.
Cool. Other questions about Awana? Yay!
Yeah.
Anyone? Yeah.
Where do you get all the things that the kids get to buy with their...
Oh, yeah. So this is a way you all can be involved with Awana without even having to come on Wednesday nights. Four times a year, we have what's called the Awana store. And the way it works is we bring some lightly used toys and fun games and stuff like that for the kids to buy with what are called Awana Bucks, which they get from showing up, saying their verses, taking part in the lesson. It's really exciting. So we'll come back around sometime in a month or two when we start up the next one. And we have this big pile of toys that's in my garage right now, probably freezing, that we'll bring out. And then we'll ask you guys if you have anything extra to throw in there, too. It's really, really fun to see them excited about that.
Good. All right. Thanks, Daniel.
Something else that's going on at Cedar Creek, you know, we gather here on Sunday mornings, and there's a lot of energy and a lot of interaction here, but we also have what we call life groups, and there's a bunch of them. There's about 18 life groups, last I counted this morning. And
there might be more now. We don't know.
Yeah, they spring up kind of quickly sometimes. As they grow and divide, it's kind of like amoeba. You know, they grow and they divide and they become individuals, honestly. And there's over 130 people, different individuals that are involved in these. They're happening on different nights of the week and different times of the day. And so I want to have Emily Wickman come up. She's involved in a couple of life groups. I want to give her a chance to talk a little bit about that. Thanks for coming up.
Yeah, you bet.
So tell us about your life group involvement.
Sure, yeah. I'm in two life groups. They're pretty different. I'm in a mom's group with Kelsey Blomberg. We lead one of those. And we just meet here during the day. We meet here over in the Sunday school rooms twice a month. The first one, we bring the kids. We have kind of a play group, and we just talk as the kids are playing, and that's a lot of fun. But then the fourth Tuesday of every month is when we meet, second and fourth Tuesday. And the last time of the month, we usually get a few sitters, servants from the congregation, and we go out without the kids to a coffee shop and have a devotional. We just talk about the Lord and encourage each other and talk about what God has been doing in our lives, and it's so good. I love it. I love that. So if you're interested, let me know about that. But then I'm also, Justin and I are starting a new small group, a couples small group, and this tonight actually is our first meeting at 5 tonight. You can stop by if you're not already in a small group. You are more than welcome to stop by tonight or after the game. We'll be meeting here, but yeah, and we just meet every other Sunday night there too, and just talk. It's just a chance to get together and talk about life, and you know, we're doing life throughout the week, and it's an awesome opportunity to just touch base, read the Bible, you know, get in the Word, and just have community with each other.
So now you're in two mm-hmm. life groups. So you're obviously very invested in this. How come? What is the great draw for you, or what's the big benefit for you?
Sure. Yeah. Oh man, where do I start? I think that the God's community is what drew me to God and to the church in the first place. I, you know, came in and saw this body of believers just loving each other and sacrificing for each other and living life together, encouraging each other, and I just want to be a part of that. It's so exciting. It's so neat, and it can just be little things. You know, I need someone that I trust to watch my kids, or I got a flat tire, you know, call up Rob or, you know, anybody that you meet at these small groups. But then that's where it starts. That's where those relationships start, and I love that, and it's so, so, so cool to be a part of that. So, yeah. Love it.
That's great. Any questions about life groups? Where there's information actually on the literature table in the foyer, list of life groups. We're always looking for new folks to facilitate life groups to help out and lead a life group. And here's a volunteer. Oh no.
Yeah, so we're young couples, most of us so far. Anyone is really invited, but it's a couple small group, but most of us are on the, you know, younger side.
All right. Great. Thanks, Emily.
Thanks, Emily.
Appreciate it. I think that that kind of wraps up our interviews and our state of the church. I just wanted to we've kind of hit on we've highlighted a few things, some things that are coming up, some things that are going well, some things that are kind of underneath the surface that you don't see on a Sunday morning, and we wanted to highlight those. But you know, there's a lot of other things we haven't talked about. You know, we've alluded to children's ministries. There's a lot of kids on the other side of that wall, and there's folks that are serving in Sunday school and nursery That's just happening all the time. I'm just surprised we don't hear more. Somebody did a good job of soundproofing that wall, I think. And you know, and Sunday mornings don't just happen. You know, we gather here and it's great. The building's warm, the coffee's made, the music team is here. You know, there's a lot of work that goes into just pulling it all together. And we have a women's prayer group, a group of women that meet every week to pray. And they've been meeting for years and years. And they've probably prayed for many of you. I know they've prayed for many of you. If you've made any kind of need known, they've put you on their list and they pray for you. And that's effective over time. There's a care and compassion ministry that's seeking to touch folks in our community with the love of God and compassion. So there's just all kinds of stuff going on. And so we've just kind of highlighted a few today. But, you know, as we think about the state of the church, the church does not consist of our finances. The church does not consist of this building, although on a day like today, I'm very thankful we have a building. It would be a little chilly meeting in the park today. But the church doesn't consist of those structures, those things. The church is us. It's folks. It's people. And those things, the finances, the building, all that just help us carry out our purposes. So I am thankful to be part of this body. I'm thankful for those of you that call this your church home and are engaged here. And I'm looking forward to 2017. I'm looking forward to 2017, and I hope you are too. We're going to build on good things that we're already doing. We're going to keep trying to do what we do better and more effectively. We're going to try some new things. Friday night service. We're going to step out, like Matt and Luke were talking about. And we're going to seek to be a greater influence in the Chippewa Valley, greater influence in our community to touch it for good. So I just invite you to join us renewed here as we begin 2017. So I just wanted to read a prayer that Paul prayed for the Christians in Ephesus that's recorded in Ephesians 3. And I think he prayed this for a group of people like us. He prayed this for folks that gathered together to as a church body. Paul prayed, "I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church, and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen."
Amen. All right, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. We are so grateful that we just walk through our life with you, Lord. Each of us individually, you call us, and your desire is for each of us to come to an understanding of our need for salvation and to accept Jesus, the payment you made. And when we do that, we become part of your family, Lord, and then our life is changed. But then, as part of that, we meet together as your family. We meet together as your body, and we love and we serve and we honor you, and we love each other, and we serve the community, and we seek to win others, Lord, to Christ. And we do that together, Lord. So and that's what the church is. And I'm just so grateful for this church. I'm grateful for what you've done here, how you're leading and guiding us. Thank you that when we look back and see what's happened, we see your hand, we see your fingerprint, we know that you're there. Thank you that as we look to the future, Lord, we know that you go with us. Actually, we go with you. And so we just pray that we would take your hand and walk into 2017, Lord, as this part of your church body, loving you, serving you, loving each other, loving the community. Help us to do that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.